debt. You got to go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. And don't forget insane inflation. That keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done with debt is your lifeline. Done with debt has an ingenious new strategy to help you erase your debt faster and easier than you ever thought was possible. Done with debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce your bills. They know how to get interest rates cut. Their skilled staff of negotiators know how to get the debt out of your life permanently, without bankruptcy and without a loan. Done with debt are the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive. So here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Again, donewithdebt.com.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Don't let a wild pube wreck you. Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and our sponsors at Manscaped are here for you for the best tools to get your balls ready for the special occasion. This V-Day, it's time to join the nearly 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming, with our exclusive offer. To get this, go to manscaped.com and use promo code Bubba, that's B-U-B-B-A, for 20% off and free shipping. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts. Their shed travel bag and the anti-chafing boxer briefs to keep your boys stored comfortably. And to complete the perfect package for your package, our liquid formulations like the Crop Preserver ball deodorant and the Crop Reviver ball toner. You gotta have both of those. Start your day off with a deodorant for your boys, then stay cool all day with toner to keep them feeling the best all day and night. These formulations will have your balls smelling like a king on your big day. Go to manscaped.com for our exclusive offer and 20% off free shipping with the Bubba code. Your balls and your lady will thank you. Join Cupid and shoot your arrow with Manscaped this Valentine's Day.
Hello? Oh, Christ. He's deaf. Hello? Can you hear me? Are you on?
I can hear you.
Beautiful. And we're rolling. We're live.
We're live.
We'll do it and we'll do it live, right?
We can't play like music because we're afraid it'll get copyright struck and all that nice.
I mean, even if I were to play like, what's the word? Brain work. A parody song. I can't even play one of those.
As long as you know that they're copyright free.
Okay. I guess I don't know. Not sure.
See, the thing is like on Twitch, we can kind of get away with it because we're behind.
Okay.
The replays have to be, you need to be a subscriber to watch them.
Okay.
And YouTube's algorithm, like, literally catches, if you put, like, 3 seconds, they'll catch you. And then the whole show gets demonetized.
All right. Well, yeah, we don't want that to happen. Oh, welcome to Off the Rails with Anna and Blitz. For the delay.
Even songs that, like, you go online and say, oh, royalty free.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you get flagged, and then we're
screwed. Right. Because I was looking online, and you go, well, are you a thousand percent sure they're not royalty free? And I'm like, fucking no.
Yeah, a lot of songs will say royalty free, but they're not.
Yeah, right. So I don't want to take the chance. I don't want to fuck everything up.
Right.
So we just go a little dry and just kind of try to work through it, I guess. So when we go to, like, do a little break in the middle, I just say we go to break and then just silence.
We've been playing the Pea Caper, which honestly, even that we can't play probably.
Okay. So I just won't play anything.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. Sorry, guys. 813-90-BUBBA. Actually, don't call in for a while. I want to talk about some stuff. During the break, usually I'm eating aggressively. I had a small little snack, took my pills, but for the majority of the break, I was listening to, for those that are local in the Tampa Bay area, there's a local company, Cox Media Group. Maybe you've heard of it. I used to work for the company. Bubby used to work for the company. Well, one of their flagship morning shows is no longer. And I was getting pummeled with texts during the show that, guess what? Miguel and Holly, which is like the top 40 station, one of the top 40 stations in Tampa, they're leaving. And I was like, oh, when does that go into effect? And the person that I was talking to said, today is their last day. And I was very intrigued as to what exactly was said. I'm trying to get my friends to listen and pipe me in just through updates. So you said that they had posted something on their Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on there and it was about a 13-minute video. So I had to watch it. Most of it was just like heartfelt shit. Not shit. I do like both of them. I know that I don't hang out with them, but I used to know them personally. But the heartfelt stuff about their last 7 years in Tampa, or the 7 years they spent on Hot 115. And to me, and I don't know if it's to you, because you're maybe not as invested as I am, because like I used to work there and I like kind of know them. I went to Holly's housewarming party a few years ago. Okay. I wasn't expecting to get invited to any parties now or any weddings now, but we used to be colleagues. And so I'm intrigued. I still follow both of them on social media. Well, did. I'm not on social media right now. We'll get to that later. But I am always really intrigued when there's a big radio shakeup, because that means changes are a-coming. Mm-hmm. And changes are fun. Changes are the best when you are not at the top.
Yes.
When something big happens, I go like this. Like, what's going to happen now?
Well, especially when you're sitting on the sidelines watching.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. But the highest stakes and the most exciting time is when a big change happens and you're not at the top. And the change has to be at the top. Those are the most exciting changes, mm-hmm. right? Because as Bubba talks about frequently on the show, like, radio is very competitive. And it's not one of those businesses where everybody can win. It's not like, say, it's like stand-up comedy, right? I'm a big stand-up comedy fan. You can have many famous stand-up comedians, right? Just because one guy or gal is famous doesn't mean that you can't be.
Right.
You know, there's, I don't want to say an infinite amount of space for everyone. That's certainly not true. But it's not like there's one top dog and everybody else is shit. Well, that's kind of how radio is that if you occupy the morning slot, no one else can be in that morning slot. Mm-hmm. So when there's a big shakeup, it's always like really exciting. And I'm always curious as to see what's going to happen. I know, again, I'm not like going to say, oh, these people are my best friends, but I know these people at, all three of them that were on the morning show. And Holly Miguel is a very successful show, a very successful franchise.
Sure.
So the fact that they're leaving, I'm like, oh, they must be going to like Chicago or LA or something big. Something big's happening. But after listening to the 13-minute video, I think they're just going rogue. Like, are they leaving the industry? They were saying key words like, or phrases rather, like, we're not the same people we used to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, my mind has changed about some shit. I've been through some shit. The pandemic changed me. These are all key phrases of like, hey, I'm not the same and I don't want what I used to want. Thanks so much for the good times, but I'm going to...
Well, we know what they're going to do.
We do?
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real estate agents.
Yep. Got it. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Crypto investors.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious to see. At first, I thought maybe they're leaving for another market, but both of them bought house. I mean, not that you can't obviously rent them out and mm-hmm. move, but one of them bought a house, I think, in the last year. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm really curious to see what the hell's going on. But it seems like both of them, and that's kind of odd when you have like an on-air co-host. They're both hosts. I know you'd want to call it co-host, but they're both like seat. Well, maybe Miguel's like seat one. But they are both like, it's called the Miguel and Holly Show. It's
right.
Not like the Miguel Show. It used to be. They changed the name.
Oh, so it used to be called the Miguel Show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then he's one.
He's one. He's the one that like takes him in and out of breaks and stuff.
And alphabetically, it would be Holly and Miguel. So
mm-hmm.
for it to be Miguel and Holly.
Right. And that's, I guess, how they would do it, right?
If
it was completely even, they would just go with...
Usually.
Okay.
Or like whatever sounded better, but...
Sure. So
it's funny because I hear a lot of people call it the Holly Miguel Show.
I hear it too, but yeah. I think it's Miguel and Holly.
It is Miguel and Holly.
That sounds right in my head.
Yeah.
As far as I've talked about the show and heard the show. And to be honest with you, it was really funny. I was listening to it this morning and there was like a good song on 94.1. I think it was like Drake or something. And I remember thinking like, oh, they're Miguel and Holly are having a talk break now. Like, I should listen. And I go, mm-hmm. But I really like this Drake song. I'll listen to it on Monday. Because mm-hmm. I usually catch one break, talking break
okay,
of theirs.
Okay, on the way in.
Yeah, on the way in. Well, I guess I won't ever again. So much for that. But I'm going to be really interested on Monday because they're keeping the third. He's like a producer, but I'd say like the third, like the co-host. And I wonder what they're going to call the show. The Scotty Show.
So he's staying there?
He's staying. Yeah.
So I don't listen that often at all. To be honest, I didn't even know there was another guy until I saw their Facebook today, and he was mm-hmm. doing, like, the run backwards in the hallway. I'm like, who the hell is this guy?
He's a good guy, and he's, like, spunky in a way that's perfect for that show.
Okay.
He's a really good person, Scotty, and I have a lot of respect for him because he's been through a lot of shit.
Okay.
Like, in the last 2 years, and I'm not even talking about the pandemic. But there, he had a few months where it was just, I was like, dude, can this guy get a break on mm-hmm. life? And I never saw a post about him feeling sorry for himself or anything. Okay. And really positive, like trying to bring people up. And, you know, some people think he's corny and cheesy, and he's supposed to be. That's his fucking job.
Exactly, yeah.
So he does his job well. He's young. He's, like, in the perfect position. I think he's, like, 24, 25.
Okay.
Like, he's just killing it. And now he's about to be the host of a major market morning show. Like,
well,
that's fucking awesome. Well, they said, yeah, he's going to be taking reins of the show. That's what they said in that video that I just watched. Okay. So I was really curious to see what happens. Well, so, yeah, big shakeups are interesting or fun. I'm really curious to see what they're going to end up doing. And I think it's also a little bit odd or unusual when both of them come to that conclusion at the same time, which makes me think maybe they weren't so as happy as I thought they were there. They gave a lot of kudos to Cox,
mm-hmm.
but and not just Miguel, like also Holly.
Right.
But because Miguel likes to end up Cox. But I think that maybe they weren't as happy as we all thought, because like, why would you both come to the same conclusion at the same time? You're two different people. It seems a little bit odd, but maybe you're moving to a different market. I don't know, but I like radio shakeups. I live for radio drama. It's my favorite thing.
So if you had to guess what they're going to do, what would you say?
I thought they were, I was like, oh, they're moving to a bigger market. But now I honestly don't know, because they usually if you're moving to a bigger, better market, you thank the city for your time and you go, I'm really excited about the future and, you know, stay tuned about whatever. But they were saying goodbye in a different sort of way, where they had changed and their goals had changed, and that they're not the same people. That's not what you say when you're on a trajectory and you're continuing what you're doing. That's not what you say. Those aren't the words you say.
I only watched the first couple minutes, so I didn't get all that because I didn't watch the whole. I just watched a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But also, like, my thoughts without watching the whole thing was, if they're going to a different company, And Cox knows, and they said, look, we're going to be cool. Just, you can't mention it. You can't mention it. You're going anywhere. Like,
yeah, no. And I knew they weren't going to be able to do that. So right. I was trying to pick up context clues as to what exactly they're doing, which is real estate.
Mm-hmm.
They're becoming real estate agents. Let's just be real. That's what's going on.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
I don't know
if it's something that, like, I don't know if one of them said, like, we've shared so much, we're just ready to pull back. That was what Holly said. We're ready to pull back.
Hmm.
Huh. What does that mean, pull back? That means share less. Do you mean share less, like, never crack a mic open again? I don't know. Can you imagine your... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go. In my head, I was thinking some bad stuff.
Oh, right. Pull. Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, not actually not that at all.
Oh, okay. Can you imagine yourself not wanting to do what you're doing now? Can you imagine that, where you would no longer want to be? I would say what you're doing now is, like, is a passion.
Oh yeah,
job, like, passion filled job
for sure.
Can you imagine not wanting to do this anymore, like talk or be an engineer or something where your life completely changes?
No, because anything that I'd want to do is still, like, kind of involved.
Would be related to this.
Yeah. I mean, it would be like engineering of some sort, you know, but
sure.
Like,
and those are, I mean, again, those are like your skills and your specialty. So
right.
I get it, but forget about like doing it because you have to, and those are your skills, but not wanting to do it, because I cannot fathom me being me and not wanting to do this every day.
Right.
Now things change, because I used to like, you know, fuck. I used to go to clubs and I used to do drugs, mm-hmm. and I don't do any of those things anymore. I bake banana bread and make my coworkers sick. I like consolidating things and staying home with cats. Now, if you would have told me exactly, and that's not the first time you said that today about the show
about
any
of us, myself included.
Yes. So it's hard for me to imagine, or any of us. I'll speak to the 192 people on YouTube listening right now, and I don't know how many we have on Facebook.
4,000.
4,000. Thank mm-hmm. you so much. Wow. Don't look around the room. That's I love it when comedians say that. They'll be like, 20,000 people, don't look around, because mm-hmm. there's only 150. But it's probably hard for anybody imagining if they enjoy doing something. Don't talk about the shit you don't enjoy. Obviously, you'd like to quit that immediately. But the shit you do enjoy doing, whether it's a hobby or a job, like being in a mind state where that wouldn't serve you anymore, that wouldn't fulfill you anymore. Like if your drive and your passion completely changes, like I can't even imagine like who I would be or what I would do, because, you know, this is probably not groundbreaking. How about that?
That's better.
This wouldn't be groundbreaking. Dude, how did I just acquire like fucking word salad? Wernicke's.
What?
Is it Wernicke's? Is that what the spot in the brain? Look it up. Wernicke's disease, disorder, syndrome, something like that. Anyways, yeah. You start confusing
Ray
things.
Ray Bradbury?
Mm-hmm, just like that. But, oh man, where was I going? Groundbreaking. Information. I forgot. This isn't good, folks.
Like, what the hell?
I don't know what's going on.
Did you eat the poison bread as well?
No. Oh, man. I really want to know what I was going to say.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I don't know. It's gone. It's gone. Never to return. But I really want to get it, because I was going somewhere with it. But anyways. Yeah. I guess people change over time. It's hard to imagine, though, because you can't imagine yourself any other way but how you are mm-hmm. right now. And if I were to like wake up and not want to do what I'm doing. Oh, groundbreaking information that I have no other skills. That's where I was going with
okay.
this. Yeah, right. Like I'm good at almost nothing. Nothing, let's say I'm good at nothing. Not practically, but that's applicable to that other people consider valuable,
mm-hmm.
right? No one's like, hey, we need someone who can remember a lot of birthdays. And I'm like, hey, I'm right here.
Right, before like written word.
Right, exactly.
That'd be very helpful. But
yeah, I've got no skills that that society finds useful. All the things I like to do, no one would care about. And then I got a lot of like side interests, but they're fleeting. They come in and out, you know. I like fitness and nutrition stuff, but like not enough to help people. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. I just do it to serve myself.
Sure.
I don't care about y'all. I'm like too much of like a
bitch.
Like that, but I was going to say libertarian, but
oh, that's what I meant. Sorry.
Where I'm just like, you do you.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell you how to live your life, because I don't like people telling me how to live mine. So I feel like maybe I'm not... Now, I understand people would come to you for advice or some shit, but, like, here on some level, I guess I'm... I know this is crazy, but, like, I'm just not a narcissist enough to think that I know it all and I have the best... I know it works for me,
mm-hmm.
but what works for me may not necessarily work for you. And, you know, what the fuck do I know about it? Like, that's exactly... I would be, like, the worst counselor, because I'd, like, give them all this advice. But I'm like, but hey, if you try, it doesn't work. Like, I don't know shit. Mm-hmm. I'm just some fucking schlub. Don't listen to me. I don't know shit. So, I don't know. But I'm excited to see what happens with Miguel and Holly. I'm excited to see what will happen with The Bone in the next year. I feel like there might be some more shakeups. And I... Guys... I love drama so much in the radio game. It's my favorite thing. Like, as much, it's like, I guess what sports brings for other people, like the excitement that sports brings, that's what like radio drama
gives
for me.
It.
Yes, there's tons of it. It goes deep and I'm involved just enough. Mm-hmm. It's like the perfect distance where I'm not in hot water, not right now, at least. I have been the, I've been the what would you say? The contributor, the perpetrator, mm-hmm. the, what's the word I'm looking for? The producer of said drama. Certainly not usually with other people, but usually because I find myself in hot water and then, you know, when everything else goes up in flames, it provides entertainment for other people. And that's not fun.
No,
that's not fun when you think your career and life, not life, you know, I was going to do anything like that, but you think that the life, you know, it is over and then you get saved. You get saved, you know, and you go, wow, whew, mm-hmm. that was a close call. And then a few years later, a year, 9 months later, you forget the lesson you learned and then you make the same mistake again because you're dumb. But then it turns out to be the best mistake you ever made. Like, I can't even tell you. I mean, the W-2 I got yesterday, or whatever they handed it out, not going to throw out any numbers or anything, but, I mean, I would have, like, dreamed of that at Cox. Like,
okay.
Dreamed of that.
Sure.
And for most people, they would look at it and be like, you know, whatever. That's probably not something super sustainable for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But I'm a single person. I don't have a family or kids or anyone to look after besides myself, and I live a very low maintenance lifestyle.
You do.
Like, to be honest with you, it's one of my favorite things about myself, because I can find joy in like the smallest fucking things, and it really does bring me true joy.
I think that would surprise a lot of people, because you don't seem like you would be like that.
Low maintenance?
Yeah.
But I dress like I'm homeless.
I know, but like, other than that, like, but like, you don't seem like someone who the small things you'd like appreciate. And...
Oh, because I complain a lot.
Yeah.
I do complain a lot. But most of that is to be like funny, or in true honesty, like, is to be funny or to get a reaction or to bond with people.
Of course.
I complain a lot to bond, like when you are in the trenches with somebody, maybe say like at my last job, you know, mm-hmm. Probably an unhealthy amount of the discussion was not being content with what was going on. Mm-hmm. And you bond like that. So that's why I complain a lot, Blitz. I don't know if you knew that. It's social bonding.
I knew that.
Social bonding.
Yeah,
okay?
I knew that.
It's a tactic.
Right, that's why
to create deep social connections with the people around
you. Right, that's why you only do it like on here and never privately or anything
right.
like that. Yeah, never.
Yeah, well, actually, it would be the opposite. I would do it more in private, right?
Oh, in that case, then, you like to bond with a lot of people.
I love bonding with people.
You're like fucking glue in that case, then.
Yes, yeah. See, it's because you guys think I'm just being a stupid bitch, but actually, I'm bonding. I'm connecting with people on a deep, deep level. When you're both complaining about the same thing, when you both hate the same people, the enemy of your
that
enemy is
true,
your friend.
Actually.
This is like, I'm learning a lot about human sociology, I suppose, but not so much like America or Japan or whatever. It's just like human nature type shit. And I liked learning about social dynamics and how to create bonds with people, and talking shit about somebody that you both hate or you don't have to intensely hate them, but showing disapproval for something that they've
yes.
done or who they are or whatever, and you both had a bad experience with this person, it brings you together so quickly to have the same foes and to be on the same team. Now, you have to be... social dynamics is an interesting game, because oftentimes when people are talking shit about other people to you, they're probably talking shit about you to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably mostly the case. But I do feel that there are different, like, inner circles, right? Like, your most inner circle, and then, like, your intermediate circles, and then kind
of,
like, the outer...
Of course.
The outer orbits. But... And if you're an outer orbit type person, like, please. Like, mm-hmm. they're talking shit about you, probably. Unless you just aren't close enough, and they don't really know you, whatever. But with my like inner circle, there are a few people that, and I know this is going to surprise you, there's a few people in my life, very few, that I've never talked shit about. Maybe three.
Okay.
Three people that I just, even if they've made mistakes or anything, I cannot bring myself to say anything bad about them. Because I love them so much. I love them so intensely.
Now, did it start out being that way?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. There was never a moment. One of those people is my wife. I call her my wife.
Sure, I know. Yeah.
The one I went to St. Augustine with. Mm-hmm. I just love her. Truly love her. It's so fucking much. Deeply. Another one is one of my friends here,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Matter. So there's a few people that I cannot get myself to say anything bad about because I love them so intensely, but I do talk a lot of shit with them about other people.
I bet.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially when you both are involved in and invest in each other's lives. It's the best. It feels so good. It feels so goddamn good. But anyways, I know I'm going on and on about the radio business. I'm not quite sure how interested everybody else is in it, but I fucking love it. It's like when I used to watch reality TV, and I used to watch it. I used to like The Road Rules and The Real World and shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that on steroids because you got skin in the game. Because if it's not me that might be getting a job, maybe it's a good friend of mine.
Could be Puck.
Is Puck alive?
I have no idea.
Forgot he was a person that existed. Do you ever do that? I did that last night. I was going through a weird phase last night. I feel like I was like partially hallucinating.
Okay, me too.
Yeah, shame for different reasons, but I was just in a. Do you ever just you get into a funk and you just stare and think about stuff?
Yeah,
that happens a lot. And last night I just went through like there was a weird period of time in my life in Michigan, and I just like went through all these people that I used to know and like now don't really think about. And I'm like, I wonder what's going on with them.
Like friends, like people you knew, like personally?
Most of them like people I dated.
Okay.
You know, in Michigan, and I'm like, not just I can't believe I whatever, but you know, like there was someone that from a long time ago that I was like really deeply infatuated with. And I remember just like thinking about that experience, and it was like such a short lived experience,
mm-hmm.
but it had such like a monumental impact on my life at that time. And I was kind of just like revisiting how I felt, like the state of mind that I was in, how far I've come since then, the moves I've made, the people I know now. And that person just occupies, you know, they're just like part of a scrapbook in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then every now and again, you open the scrapbook, you're like, oh yeah, that person that
right.
I was, that was so like someone that occupied at one point 90% of my like waking thoughts.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was unhealthy. Now occupies virtually zero
right.
of my thoughts. And it's interesting because you think much like what I was asking you about your career or like, can mm-hmm. you imagine your passion or whatever? But I was like really passionate about this one person. And to think how much excitement that brought me and how much devastation that brought me when it was over. And how not that I thought I would never get over it, but, you know, whatever your problems are in your life or whatever's going on currently, you can't imagine a time where that's not the problem.
Sure.
And so I was just like, it was an interesting, reflective, late night pondering of just like, damn, that is crazy how people who were your best friends at one point
mm-hmm.
are now just, not to quote a Gautier, but just somebody you used to know. That's just who they are now. Just they were your best friend. Maybe they were your spouse. Maybe they were your husband or your wife and you had children with them. And now they're just somebody you used to know. Like that to me is jarring and almost like brings me to tears, not just because of personal reasons, but it's crazy how that can change where you maybe talk about being in each other's weddings and everything, and now you don't even talk.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even talk, and you liked them. Maybe you had a falling out. Maybe you just grew apart. Maybe you just don't care. But that, to me, like, is like a sad part of life, but also not, because maybe you don't want them in your life, or people that you say goodbye to, or you don't think that they're gonna. And this isn't even like a death thing, but you know, that you think you'll always be friends, or they're such a big part of your life. Like my past, like my exes, like the day that we broke up or decided it was over, I never saw any of them ever again, which is crazy because they're like a part of your daily life.
Sure.
And then suddenly they're just not. And the way I do breakups is pretty clean,
mm-hmm.
which is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Not bragging, but I do it right. You say goodbye and you go, well, this is going to suck. And sometimes it does suck. Sometimes it really, the first time didn't really suck at all. To be honest with you, I have no clue what he's up to. My ex-boyfriend from Michigan, but I remember the breaking up with him was difficult because I did it in person, like a fucking man, an adult, sorry, ladies, and that's hard because you don't like hurting people's feelings.
Right.
And even I still like cared for him, mm-hmm. certainly. But then I remember the next day being totally fine.
Sure.
And thinking, people get so worked up about breakups and they're fucking not even that bad.
Yep.
Like it didn't even, because that was my first boyfriend in full disclosure.
Okay.
So I just thought that was. It sucked that day. I went to Whole Foods, got a snack, and I was fine. I was literally.
Do you remember what the snack
fine.
Was?
Hummus.
Oh.
And tofu. Some tofu stuff.
Gross.
Yeah. It was braised. It wasn't just plain.
It was what?
Braised. They would, you know, you could get the.
Like cooked? Like.
Yeah, braised.
Okay. Yeah.
No, that's a form of cooking, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it tasted great.
Okay.
And I, maybe with like a, I think I had like a kale power salad or something, like a bunch of little snacks. Ate them in my car, cried a little, went home, woke up the next day. Totally fine.
What was your car's name? Was it Gary?
I was Gare Bear. Yeah. Gary. Gary, and then we had Morris, and now Gus. So I remember just thinking like that was great. Like literally
right.
Totally fine.
Sure.
Not knowing that. I had checked the fuck out. And when you check out,
yeah.
you do, I did the grieving weeks prior already.
I've done that before too.
And there were tears because I'm like, I was breaking up with him and sounds, I can't use that word. Sounds lame.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds real lame.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds lame. But I had already grieved him in my heart.
Yeah.
I was over it.
You broke up with him in your mind a long time ago.
Yeah, I broke up with him in my mind. And so I remember he went to Florida for help his brother move or something, and then came back, and that's when I bought him the infamous the gyro, which I guess says in like my friendships and stuff, that's like symbolic of a breakup. Like if I buy you a gyro, it's like it's fucking over.
Oh. Shit.
So yeah, and that's exactly what he had to do after I bought it for him. So it was a little bit awkward. Imagine.
Oh, you poisoned him too.
No. He just had a shit. No, but this is it was the most awkward thing ever. So like, I was uncomfortable the whole time. I picked this guy up from the airport, and I bought him a gyro at it was a gas station / restaurant because that's I care.
Oh yeah,
I care. Listen, it was probably his cousin. Everyone was Chaldean. So I get him the gyro, and I pick him up, and I'm like, I felt almost guilty, you know, like I tricked him because he thinks I'm getting him, bringing him dinner that I love him and care about him and everything, and I guess I did to some degree, but also I'm about to fucking never see your ass again.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more like a farewell gift.
Great one.
Yeah, so I give him the gyro on the way home. He's like, oh, thanks. Driving home. As we're inching closer and closer to his house, I have like this, the feeling was building in my gut that this, I need to do this. And it was planned. Like, I was planning on having
yeah.
to talk. But he also had a feeling in his gut, and it was because he had a shit.
Hmm.
And so when we approached his house, I said, "Hey, can we talk for a second?" And he said, "Is this gonna take long?" And I'm like, "Probably." He knew it was coming. He goes, "Well, I got a shit." I'm not kidding. And I go, "Okay." So it was just really awkward because I dropped him off, and he lived with his brothers and his dad. And his dad, I don't think he liked me so much because I wasn't of the Chaldean variety.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed to be a recurring theme in my life, where I was part of the wrong either religious or ethnic group, or both, when I was lucky.
Yeah.
In this case, it was both. I was a Jew and not from Iraq, so cool. So I drop him off, and his dad is like watering grass or doing something outside, and he looks at me, and I look back. I don't even know if I fucking waved. I think I just put my car in reverse, which was really awkward, but I was still in his like field of view.
Okay.
So I like parked, and then he like came out and saw us. My boyfriend at the time runs in the house to shit. His dad looks at me, and my instinct is to just reverse, but not like there's a tree that's blocking, so mm-hmm. he can't see. Just reverse, and he's just like, "I can still see you, idiot."
You're like, "Don't worry, after this, you won't see me again."
That's what I thought. I remember thinking, like, "Why do I care? I'm never going to see him again." So I take the boyfriend at the time to a park, and I just go, "What are we doing? Like, we've literally talked about how you need to get married in a church, that you need to have Chaldean babies, that you need all this stuff. What the I'm like, yeah. We are wasting our time.
No shit.
We are fucking I'm wasting your time. You're wasting my time. This is ridiculous." You know, and we would have conversations about, we were just not on the same page with values, with anything, tit size, mine were too small, his were too big. Nothing was compatible at all. And I'm like, these are things that you need, these are non-negotiables for you that you've told me. And how we resolve them is we stop talking, we go, "What do you want for lunch? You want to do sushi? Let's go." You know, that's how we would just change the subject. And I'm like, "Well, this is getting a bit ridiculous. Like, you have no interest in leaving Detroit. I've been trying to leave the fucking second I got here. Mm-hmm. You refuse to leave. You still live at home. You're not, it doesn't sound like you're keen on leaving. You know, whatever." He was also like super jealous and fucking annoying and stifling my personality, whatever. That was,
oh, that sounds like a great match.
Yeah, I don't think I really said it that. I made it more of about a values thing. I'm like, "You gotta fucking admit here, buddy. Like, we're not on the same page. And you can't even tell your dad that we're dating. I'm your friend."
Oh, yeah, that's good.
And I'm like, this cannot be done. So, you know, that ended, and we were cordial. You know, he was obviously upset and leaves, and then I remember, you know, getting a text from him the next day, and he was kind of like, "You're right, this isn't,"
mm-hmm.
you know. And we were fine, and even on my way to Florida, he was, like, sending me pictures of his nephews, and I was like, "Oh, how's it looking?" You know, it was cordial, you know. No, there was no cheating, no infidelity, no, nothing. So, but then there was a clear break I noticed when I started dating the next guy and he saw.
Well, yeah, there should be.
He deleted me off everything.
That's how it should be.
Fair point. Whatever. That's fine. No big deal. He just, you know, didn't want to see it. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Of course.
But it's interesting just to kind of look back and you think about someone who was like so involved in your life and now you're like, I don't know what state they're living in. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Probably still home with dad, you know, certainly living in Detroit, he's never going to leave. So it's just interesting to think about stuff like that, that changes so drastically. And is that sad to you? Is change sad? Is change...
When it happens, usually.
But even like looking back at it, is it sad? Is the word... Mm. Why is there like a... You know, it's not like he was the love of my life or anything. And I'm just using this as one example,
right.
But... Why do I look back on it and it's like it's nostalgic, but it has a hint of melancholy, you know? I guess it's just that, you know, things change and nothing stays the same. And, you know, as humans, we like stability, I guess.
Yeah.
And thinking that something will be a staple in our life forever and that we'll always have this relationship as intense as it is forever. And obviously, that's not the case. That's rarely the case. Mm-hmm. So when things change, you know, maybe you're not being reflective on it and you don't care. But then you think about it and you go, holy shit. Like, there's so many people that have come in and out of my life. And, I mean, that's a part of being human in the modern age is, you know, especially if you're like me where you're on the go all the time for the last, you know, I've been a gypsy the last 15 years. Yeah. I've lived in, you know, five different cities and essentially had five different lives, none of which were connected. And to me, it's really weird when they do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll have a friend from, like, I had a friend from, like, Australia that came in and met people in Michigan, and you just go, what the f-? Like, it's just like a weird sensation for me because these people don't know each other.
You had that at your birthday hang.
I did?
We're like different friend groups.
Oh,
together.
Yeah, yeah. All of the same era of my life, but yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Exactly. And so there was a lot of cross-pollination, which makes me happy. When my Canadian friend came to visit and like met Will and stuff, that was cool because I'm like, whoa, like this guy knew me back then. Will knows me now. And they're both like my husbands.
Right.
And now they have met.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting. Now they can fuck.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. But anyways, sorry I'm getting in a nostalgic past, like, whatever, sort of mindset. I've been very reflective lately.
You're just trying to stay off the whole, like, poison bread issue.
I've taken up the activity of poisoning the people closest to me now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I want to bake so bad, but I do. I want to bake so bad. I almost baked yesterday, but I'm like, you cannot do back to back, like making people taste your shit days. It's too try hard. You got to space it out a little bit, Anna. Got to space it out. Just kind of take a breath. So, I don't know why this is a new interest of mine, a new hobby. I thought by this time in my life, if you would have asked me, you know, 15, 20 years ago, what I'd be up to, I'd be like, oh, well, I'm probably be married with some kids.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I would be baking bread with cats. But listen, it's fine. We're good. I'm happy. I am. I actually really fucking am.
I agree. I can see that.
My life is so good right now that in my brain, I'm like looking for stupid shit to stress about because... I'm not kidding.
That's healthy.
Is what I'm trying. I know. And I'm trying to fucking unravel. There's a lot I've been unpacking lately. I don't know if this is a mid-30s thing, you know, an end-of-life crisis, as you might say, because I'm old as fuck. But
yeah, well, you are.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been trying to unpack a lot of stuff and clean up a lot of shit, a lot of debris, stuff that I would like to get rid of mentally. But I think I have that's a luxury because everything else in my life is going very smoothly.
Okay.
Which only means I'm getting closer and closer to a pothole.
What the hell?
Is that's probably a red flag right there that I think negatively about things.
Yes, it is.
Because the longer things are good, the closer you think about the next fucking drop, the happier you are. And time's moving along and decided, no shit, you know. So not that I'm waiting for that or wanting that, but then I'm like... I was having some fucking weird thoughts. I went for a run yesterday. Maybe not the move to be alone with my thoughts. Maybe not the move. But yeah, I was thinking about like almost looking at some of the worst times of my life with some like fondness where...
The hell is wrong with you?
Guys, I swear to God, I have not been smoking weed. But
no, you've been smoking crack, it sounds like.
I haven't even been smoking crack. But like, do you ever look at times... And maybe I'll take some phone calls on this. 813-90-BUBBA. Do you ever look at like some of the saddest times of your life and almost like want to go back there
for what reason?
I think what I was telling myself yesterday was that like I when things are kind of just coasting, when you're just like coasting.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really feel like the intensity of life, you know? But when the stakes are really, when you hit a pothole, you feel everything very, very deeply and you feel really alive and connected to the present because you're just trying to get through every day, you know? And you're like, man, this fucking sucks. I'm just trying to get through every day. But the smallest wins seem like you won the Super Bowl. Like, mm-hmm. the first time you don't cry for a day, that is such a big win. Or you get completely distracted and start finding joy in things that you once did. Like, you're returning to your old self. Like, that up is, I don't know. I don't know. It was just a weird thought where I go, a part of me, like, almost misses, like, the struggle of whatever it is. I don't know. Maybe it's just the fact that when things are really good and you're coasting, that's why I try to like check in with myself all the time and make sure I feel a lot of gratitude every day. Because mm-hmm. it's easy when things are good and things aren't really going bad. It's hard, and you just get used to things going good. The amount of like even something that would be a massive win a couple of years ago is just like every day,
right?
So you don't feel that, like, it's all about the dopamine mm-hmm. reward system, right? Mm-hmm. So when things are really bad and they start to get just, like, even a tad bit better and you say you go to, like, baseline normal, that feels like you're a massive swing up.
Sure.
So, like, that come up of, like, getting better every day just feels like such a fucking win. And you're just so plugged into the present. Whereas when you're coasting and things are good and I'm not complaining... Your brain can't be getting fucking dopamine hits all the time when it's just normal, when it's happening every day.
But then they mean nothing.
Right, right. And I was even discussing this with Will when he found out that Tom Brady was retiring. He took it really, really hard. But I said...
Well, as a team owner, I completely understand.
Right. And no, he acknowledged how stupid it was for him to feel this way. But... I said, but that's the beauty of being so invested in sports and why, you know, I wish I could feel the lows like you, is because when you get kicked down or your team loses and stuff, it sucks, but that's exactly the reason why the wins feel so good, you know, and that's with anything in life.
Right. Well, as Tampa fans, we know that because they sucked for so many years.
And they will now probably return to that.
Why?
I don't know.
Because one or two guys left?
Because Aaron Rodgers is coming to town.
That's true, he is.
You know? Let's piss everybody off. But anywho, we'll take a quick break. There's some stuff I want to discuss on the other end about some new developments, some new things I'm interested in. Intermittent fasting can take a backseat, oh, hose, because I got something else.
I got a new guy.
I got a new thing. I'm baking bread, and I'm doing this, and I'll tell you in a few moments. No, there's no music or anything. Just going to dry Jones it up.
Yep, we'll be right back.
Bye.
Wow, I think, how have I been living like this? Kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. You're thinking, wow, how have I been affording getting gouged so bad? It's time to make the switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. And I mean, Mint Mobile's quality of wireless service is unbelievable. Say bye-bye to the overpriced wireless plan, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. They slow you down and completely screw with you. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts. Ditched overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited plan deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. Get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for only $15 a month. Go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower than 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fee, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Do 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 do. The number you've dialed. No, we're back. Hello, everyone. Sorry, just awkward. So I have to. It makes me awkward. Come back. It's fucking. You guys are still there, and there's no music. So dry, awkward. Just walked into a room that was having a conversation. Hello? I can't hear you at all. Yeah, you're four, right? Can you guys
How about now? Yeah. Oh, I forgot. I put a switch in here.
Oh.
I was like, wait a
second.
Oh,
shit. My God. Could they hear you when you were talking or no?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're back. 81390 Bubba.
Oh, here's what I was going to say. We do need to, like, actually find some true, real, royalty-free music that we can play.
How can you, like, test that? Like, is there, like, a drug test kit for...
There's really not, but...
So how do you know? How can you really tell if something is truly royalty-free?
Good question.
You're the engineer. You don't know?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay. Welcome back to the show, 81390 Bubba.
We'll find some.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I need something. It just feels so gross. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable more than I already am. So I did want to talk about this. I don't know if anybody else is going through this sort of shit or even cares. It's weird because... Sorry?
Menopause?
No, I'm actually laying eggs right now. I'm bleeding bad. It's like it was just a homicide in the bathroom or something. Yeah, it's fucking gross. Dude, is anybody else...
No, nobody else.
No, listen. Is anybody else grossed out by their own body the way that I am? Not the way that I look, even though I've, you know, many of you have made comments that have even made my mother cry, but that's fine. But I'm talking about, like, bodily functions and stuff where... Because people go, oh, you know, it doesn't bother me when it's my stuff, but when it's somebody else's stuff, I'm like, no. I am just as grossed out with myself than I would be with it. Maybe less so.
It's less.
Sure, it's certainly less because I'm like, well, I can't poison myself. My urine is sterile to me.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm going to drink it, but still, you understand what I'm saying. But I'm still like really grossed out. Like every time I bleed, I'm like, this is just insane that the body does this. And why does it have to do it so frequently? Why can't I have a period... Once, quarterly. Well, I got to be every month, and mine is very, very regular, which is kind of nice. I can plan around it.
Yeah.
Very nice. But still, it just, my body, like, grosses me out. It's disgusting what it does. And it's not just my, it's anybody's body. It does stuff, and you're like, that's nasty. Why I got to do it like that? Do my dirty like that.
But it's still less than if it was somebody's else.
Of course. Certainly. But, when you're going through like a, I don't want to say like I'm going through like a growth period right now, but I feel like as of late, it probably got kicked off with intermittent fasting.
Okay.
Because I'm coming to the, not conclusion, but I've just recently started investigating the idea and concept that, you know, things don't have to be how they have always been. And if you start making changes, on the input on the front end, you'll start seeing changes on the back end. So, for example, like, I just thought that I always had to, you know, eat every day all day, and I was a grazer, and there's no way I could ever fast like a whole day or even, you know, skip breakfast. Like, I could just never do that. Mm-hmm. Well, I started doing that and pushing it back and pushing it back, and now I could probably go, on the weekends, I usually go 22 hours.
That's what I did last night.
You did?
Yeah.
22?
The last thing I ate was banana bread here, and then I ate a banana a little bit ago.
Shit, yeah, so there you go. And not just like when you're not feeling well.
That's why I did it.
But. Right, but...
But what, it's
you
funny.
Know what I mean?
So even for me, like, I couldn't do it every day, but like, not eating for 24 hours would be no issue.
Yeah, 24 hours would be a little bit of a push, but like last weekend, for example, twice I did 22-hour fasts. I couldn't... If you would have said less than a year ago in May, hey, you're going to fast for 22 hours, no problem, I would have been like, there's just no fucking way. There's just no fucking way. I'm way too food focused. I'm way too this. I'm way too that. I need to eat before I work out. Otherwise, I'll pass out and die. It's like, no, well, you don't know that because you don't have that data because you've never tried. So you try something new. You start pushing limits and you go, wow, I feel so much fucking better. You know, I'm not as bloated, I'm not as this, I'm not as whatever. And mm-hmm. then you reap all these benefits and you go, holy shit, I was doing that my whole fucking life, like a moron. I made one change and it has significantly impacted my life. I wonder what else I could clean up and change and completely change my life for the better. I wonder what else I could clean up. Because there's certain things we tell ourselves, well, this is just how I've always done them. This is who I am. This is how I'm always going to do them. This is just how who the fuck I am and how I do things, and it's never going to change.
And what did we find?
We found that that's not the case, that we can actually very much change our lives for the better and the worse, certainly. So I think the next thing I'm trying to tackle is my OCD is getting a lot worse.
Okay,
it's getting really fucking bad, like really fucking bad. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed throughout the course of my life, and I've had this since fucking birth. You know, my parents are kind of crazy, as you might imagine. Is it nature? Is it nurture? It's a little bit of both, guys. My parents are crazy genetically, and then they taught me to be crazy, too. So it was just crazy. But they are both clinically fine, but I crossed the line where now I've got issues, you know, where it's impacting my life. It's bad. It's really fucking bad. Obsessive compulsive rituals, obsessive compulsive thoughts. Things that I find really distressing, but I tell myself, like, I can't change this, to who I am. And oddly enough, the easier my life is, or the less, not less productive, but when things are kind of going well and you don't have actual things to worry about, my OCD just gets insane. But I don't know if it's like this weird thing where I feel like I always have to live in a state of anxiety and I need like a certain amount of issues and problems to focus on, otherwise I that's how I operate. I don't know. So it's getting really, really bad, and I'm trying to find out like why is this getting triggered and what can I do to change it. I noticed that, and it's not like I started doing Instagram yesterday, but or social media, Facebook doesn't really have a pull on me at all. Twitter doesn't have a pull on me at all. I don't have Snapchat or TikTok or any of that shit. But something about Instagram, the interface, whatever I'm spending, was spending, like, I know you can check how much time you spend on a certain app. I don't even want to see it.
Yeah, I'd be sick.
It would be pathetic. And it's not like I'm learning that much. I'm watching a lot of the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
I am, I guess you would say, I don't want to say clinically obsessed, but categorically obsessed with people's lives that I don't know and that don't know me.
Realistically doesn't matter.
At all.
That's what I'm saying.
At all. They don't know me. They're just trying to capture my attention because the more eyes they have on them, the more they're growing their shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I would find myself in my car and, you know, hello, my name is Anna Homel and I'm addicted to Instagram, but I would find myself, like, after I would get to a destination, I'd park my car, and if I have time, I will spend 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, I mean, I've spent 40 minutes in my car a few times where I've, again, not that I had anywhere to go or be, and I would just sit in my car and just, like, be on Instagram. And it was really, really bad. Obviously, if I know I have to be somewhere, I'm going to fucking get out of the car. And I know that a lot of people say, like, oh, I'm just as bad, or we make jokes about it, and or they go, oh, you know, there's a lot of people who are a lot worse. They can't even hold down a job because they're just on social media. Yeah, but I'm not trying to be the worst person who's ever lived with a problem on planet Earth. I understand that. That, you know, it's like, oh, well, you do heroin once a month. At least it's not every day. It's like, okay, but I don't want to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to stop now. I'm the U.S. trying to stop the Russian invasion now before it turns into World War III. So a couple days ago, I go, this is disturbing. Like, this app has taken over whatever psychological vulnerabilities I have and is exploiting those vulnerabilities. Whether it's just me liking to look at things, me liking to compare myself, like the sick sort of sadistic, oh, this person is like prettier, hotter, fitter, richer than me, like me looking at that sort of stuff. And I realized that it was just captivating too much of my time. And I go, what if I got those 2 hours back every day, or hour and a half, or whatever, whatever it was? If I got those hours and I wasn't spending it on Instagram, what the fuck would I be doing with my life? How many days a year am I wasting looking at this fucking bullshit that doesn't matter, that's not adding value to my life, that's giving me some sort of weird, sick fix? What could I be doing with that time that would be more productive and make me feel better about myself? Because honestly, when I come out of like a... It's almost like a trance. I'm sure we've all been in it before. We're just like scrolling, and then you go, what?
Oh,
what
yeah.
Time is it? Holy shit. What happened? I just felt like I just got into the hole and just kept scrolling. And I go, this cannot be healthy. And you talk to other people about it, and everybody goes, yeah, I know. Yeah, it's not good for you. Everybody collectively knows it's bad, but no one does anything to change it.
Mm-hmm.
So I go, one of my core values is that, like, I'm not addicted to anything. I mean, maybe like working out or something like that, but I don't want to be addicted to like a substance or a product. Like, I don't want to be addicted to anything like that. That's not good. And it's not making me feel good about myself, because after I spend 40 minutes on Instagram, I go, I could have been listening to a podcast about the Russian Revolution or whatever, space-time continuum. And actually, I could have been listening to Michio Kaku and learn something.
Okay.
But instead, I watched people eating donuts. Instead, I watched some bitch that's hotter than me talk about shit she doesn't know about. Instead, I watched, like, a fat kid falling, which is fun.
That's good.
Whatever the case may be. I was watching a bunch of shit that didn't add value to my life in any capacity, and I could have done something better. Now, I've noticed that every time I do watch something that's educational, gives me some sort of information, or teaches me something new I didn't know before, I really get a deep sense of satisfaction where I'm like, I'm so glad I spent my time watching that documentary.
Of course.
And you feel good and you feel wholesome. You feel like you ate a salad. You know that feeling when you're like, I was good today. I did something nutritious for my brain.
Mm-hmm.
That feels good. Me being on Instagram for fucking 40 minutes, watching at different, you know, looking at different keto recipes, looking at this fucking young bitch with blowing this old guy, even though I find that very intriguing. It's not adding value to my life. And when I walk away from this situation, I'm feeling bad every single time. I never get off of an Instagram trance and go, wow, I'm really proud of myself. I'm really glad that that's what I did with my last 40 minutes, you know. I always end up feeling bad and beating myself up. So I go, okay, well, if we're addicted to the needle, then we must not have any needles in the house. No more needles. They're getting thrown out. So I go, you're taking yourself off of Instagram for a week. Now, you're like, oh, it's nothing. I know that, but I can't tell myself forever.
Right.
I need to keep the bar nice and low, like Jordan Peterson says.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep the bar real fucking low so you can step right over it, and then you set a new bar. And then you step right over it, and you set a new bar. And so that's what I got to do. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, no Instagram for a week. That's what I said. With the grown-up in my head going, it's going to be longer, but just tell her a week. Okay. And then tells the child, just a week. So I took myself off, and I definitely have phantom Instagram syndrome.
You just, like, grab your phone?
Yep. I just grab my phone. And the fucked up part is that I actually have to use some sort of self-control because it's still on my phone because mm-hmm. of the Bubba Army. I still run the Bubba Army. But the Bubba Army doesn't captivate me. Like, the people that the Bubba Army follows, I'm not, like, looking at their shit. It's all my own. On my own account. So I just post, and I back out, and it's no problem. Because usually what I was doing is I would make a post and then switch right up, because you can switch accounts, and then switch right back to my account. So now it's just on the Bubba Army. I'm not looking at mine at all, and if someone sends me something, I post it, and I walk out. So I do have to use some sort of self-control.
Mm-hmm.
But I took off the push notifications, which is a huge problem, because every time you get a notification, ding, oh, what is that? Ding, ding, ding. Mm-hmm. The fuck? It's ridiculous. So I took off all those, you know, kind of rearranged a few other apps, and so I'm getting way less notifications every day. So I'm constantly, like, looking.
Now, have you replaced that with other things? Other apps, other, like, do you text more now, or what's...
You know what? I do. And okay. I noticed that yesterday, because usually I'm getting these, and this will bring me into my new person that I'm following.
Okay.
But I just, before I even started listening to him yesterday, and it started yesterday, but before I even started listening to him, I noticed, because I wasn't on Instagram, getting those low-grade, low-resolution, low-quality... social interactions, which is essentially just me observing. I was like, oh, what am I going to... I start going through my phone, and I'm like, let me reach out to this person. Let me text my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Let me text my friends, see how they're doing.
Okay.
I start going through the roster of people in my head who I want to keep in contact with. And I'm like, I think that's a healthy sign that I would actually have a conversation with a friend and how they're doing, or ask them what they're up to this weekend, versus just me watching a stranger who's not getting any feedback from me, who I'm just watching casually. I'm now kind of needing more social interactions, and it's like forcing me to have higher quality ones. Still using my phone, still using technology, but at least I'm reaching out to, you know, my mom or my friend or this person that I haven't talked to in a while, or... kind of going through, I got a lot going on this month with, like, social stuff, and I'm asking those people about, you know, updates and planning and stuff like that. So I'm thinking about more of my life, which is what I need, instead of thinking about everybody else's life that isn't involved in my, like, watching these strangers, watching, you know, celebrities in the Instagram space, watching them and invested in what are they doing? What are they wearing? What are they selling? I'm thinking about them. Now I'm thinking about me and my people, which is exactly what I want and need to be doing, which what we all need to be doing.
Yes.
Instead of worrying about everybody else, worry about you and your people, because those are the people that actually fucking matter. So I, not that I'm the type of person to forget anything, because I usually don't. But I started writing in my little Google calendar, you know, events, things to look up, you know, that are in my life involving other people, of course, but still that actually pertain to my existing reality.
That's something I've started doing a lot.
Yeah.
Somewhat lately, is using the calendar.
Yeah.
Like, actually, like, here, like, that's what's up right now is my calendar.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I kind of started doing that, and it's not so much to remember, but more of like a... like an excitement notification about, hey, like when I wake up, it'll say today is this day, today is that day, but you're supposed to see this person. So I can kind of maybe get more excited about things that actually impact my life instead of watching people, you know, double breastfeed their twins, people I don't know. It's that's not, I'm not there for the breastfeeding, but I'm just saying, you know, it's whatever. I'll watch this chick, she has twins, whatever. Anyways, so I started.
Send me that link.
I will. Well, I can't because I'm off Instagram.
Oh, see, I tried to get you.
But I'll, don't try to suck me back in. So, oddly enough, I was on, I'm fine with YouTube. It's not like YouTube. So, YouTube is like social media, but like I've never commented on a YouTube video in my life. So, it's not like that's not where my people are.
Mm-hmm.
But this video came up with Ears, with our guy Ears.
Okay.
And it was this video that I'm like, holy shit, this is speaking to my soul right now. I've also noticed with myself another massive problem, maybe other people can relate, is not only do I have a shorter attention span, I feel like I don't have an attention span at all. Like there is no length of time where I need to be constantly, I don't even want to say stimulated. I want to say I need to be constantly distracted from my own thoughts. So I just, watching other people's lives, I'm not thinking about myself or what I need to do, or It's like the perfect procrastination tool is looking at other people's lives and not worrying about your own. Not worrying in a bad way, but just instead of focusing on the hard stuff, which is improving yourself or doing your work, you're just like, oh, I'm just mindlessly looking at other people. So I'm like, I used to have a little bit of an attention span, and now I don't have one at all. That's a problem. I can't even read. I can barely get through an article without checking my email, my social media, my whatever, texts, whatever the case may be. I can't get through it. I have no attention span. I am unable to concentrate and live like a... I don't want to say completely, but in the mornings I'm pretty good. But I just throughout the day, like once I'm at work... There are no like deep reflective time place slots. It's all Instagram, social media, you know. Mm-hmm. And then maybe right before I go to bed, which lately, thank you, Jesus, it's been great. I got my sleep confidence back and good. I'm able to fall asleep pretty easily every night, which is just such a, I don't believe in God, but thank you so much. God, blessing. God bless. But I was on the YouTubes, looking for something to watch and nourish my brain. And this guy, Cal Newport, came up and said something about, like, how to quit social media and, like, work on your concentration or stop distracting yourself and work on focusing better. It was something like that. And I'm like, oh, shit, that's literally exactly every thought I'm having right now. You know, with my OCD getting worse, I'm unable to get, not almost like unable to get work done. I get everything done I need to for work, but it's very hard for me to concentrate. I feel deeply unhappy when I'm just scrolling mindlessly on these stupid fucking apps. I feel like I'm addicted. I feel like I don't have control. I feel like it's hard for me to stop. And I'm not saying like, you know, oh, woe is me. They got me. I'm trying to actively do something about it. So I watched this guy last night and I took notes, which I haven't done in a long time. But there's a lot of things that were really great in the interview that I saw that I want to remember. This guy is a computer scientist out of MIT. So, Adam Mitt. And so you would think this is the last person to tell you to quit technology because he's involved in developing it. But he was just talking, and not so much like, of course, everyone's like, oh, it's bad. Social media is bad because you compare yourself and teenage girls are killing themselves. Like, okay, yes, that's like trite shit we've heard mm-hmm. a lot. But he was like, made an interesting comparison. He said, you know, maybe in 10 years or something, we're going to treat giving a 13-year-old phone and social media, we're going to compare that to like giving them a pack of cigarettes. Like, it's that bad for your health.
Really?
That now, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, my 13, 17-year-old's on Instagram. So of course she is. Like, in a few years, we're going to say, oh, that's, like, as bad as giving them cigarettes. Like, why would we do that? And not that everybody else is completely immune and unaffected by it. It's not just teenage girls. Those are the ones that are killing themselves in high volume. But everybody else is certainly affected. So I'm listening to this guy talk, and he started talking about this thing that I have definitely realized on my own, but I like what he called it. But he called it solitude deprivation. He said, we don't have that anymore. And I'm like, that's like, what are you talking about? We're always, are we deprived of being alone? Like, I'm confused because I feel like we're always with each other. But he was saying that we are solitude deprivation, that we don't experience solitude anymore. You're right. It's a solitude deprivation syndrome is what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Every waking moment that we have, there's no time for you to be, I don't want to say bored, but there's no time for you to be alone with your own thoughts. Because he was saying, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, if you were in line at the bank, which nobody does that even anymore, or you're in line anywhere, if you're just waiting and you know, before the, you know, we had the internet on our phone, before that time, if you had to wait in line for something, you were just waiting in line, standing with your own thoughts. You're on a train or something. You don't have a book or anything to read. You're just kind of looking, people watching. You're not talking to anybody. And he defined solitude in an interesting way. He didn't say it was like being alone. He said it was being free from the input of anybody else's thoughts that are not your own. That's solitude. So he said that, like, you can be with somebody, like, say you're on a bus together and no one's talking and you don't have any social media, you don't have a book, you don't have anything, you're just sitting there listening or just observing. That, to him, is solitude, like mental solitude. But he said if you're, like, in the wilderness by yourself, but you have earbuds in and you're listening to some stream or something,
yep,
then that's not solitude. So he defined it in a very unique way, and he said that we have solitude deprivation in our society in the sense that no one is ever in solitude. There's no time to just process your life. We're constantly looking at other people, getting input, thinking what they want us to think. So if I'm on Instagram looking at some hot bitch who's hawking, I don't know, like bohemian necklaces, I'm looking at her shit. I'm thinking about bohemian necklaces. I'm thinking about her. I'm comparing myself to her. I'm doing whatever to her. And there's nothing that I'm like that is organically coming from my brain. That is gone. And he said that is detrimental to human mental well-being. And it didn't occur to me that, like, there's no such thing as boredom anymore. You might get bored of doing the same shit, but you're never just, like, sitting, thinking, reflecting.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause you always have your phone. You just pop your phone out and use it.
Yep. All the time. When you're driving, when you're, you know, I think the worst thing that you could do, you know, and I've been pretty good about this, is like waking up and the first thing you do is like your phone. Like, that's, your eyes have barely adjusted to normal light, let alone the light of your phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just terrible. But I was inadvertently doing some of the things that he suggested to get back to a place of, he calls it deep work. Or like to get into the state of mind where you're able to concentrate deeply for an extended amount of time.
Okay.
And he was kind of giving tips about how to get there, especially, you know, coming from a place where technology is such an integral part of our lives. Like, this is basically my lifelong companion. Your phone has everything, your information, all of your contacts, social media, the way you connect with people. I mean, it's crazy. Like, you can live a completely sustained life, not necessarily a fulfilling one, but just from your phone, you can get your groceries, anything that you need, household items, you know, social interaction, everything from this phone. You don't even have to, like, leave your house. But he was talking about two major problems with social media. Is he called it social snacking, which was interesting, because that's when you get, like, low quality social interaction and you don't really, it prevents you from doing the real thing of getting, like, high quality social interactions, which is exactly what I found myself doing yesterday. Sorry.
Yesterday?
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. It's what I found myself doing yesterday, trying to reach out to people I haven't spoken to in a while,
right,
because I didn't have the social media.
But you're still trying to, like, replace Instagram with other stuff, though, in a way. But at least it's more personal.
Exactly. So I'm trying to trade it in for higher quality shit. And then he also talked about, you know, the constant social comparison, which isn't good for the brain either.
No.
You just constantly compare. And it's not like I get super down on myself, but anytime I feel like I ever experience a win, I can go on Instagram and that can be demolished in a matter of seconds because I go, oh, well, I don't have what she has or what he has.
Yeah.
Or, you know, oh, I did pretty well, but I mean, look at this person. They're younger than me and they're fucking killing it. I wish I was killing it like them, you know. So all that sort of stuff. It's just the thief of all joy is comparison. So I'm trying to hack my brain, trying to eliminate this from my life. And so if you've been messaging me on social media, I'm not going to get it. And to be honest with you, that's okay. And I feel like I've also been told by pretty much everybody in media that if you want to grow and you want to, you know, progress, that this is the space you have to be in.
Hmm.
And I don't think that they're necessarily wrong, but I just, at this point, I go, so what? What? So I'm a little less successful, but I have, like, my happiness and my, like, mental capabilities and.
But also, like, so you, quote unquote, use Instagram a lot, but you don't post on Instagram a lot.
No, which is even worse because I'm just consuming other people's shit and I'm not even really content producing.
Right.
But then when I do content produce, I'm checking it 1,000 times to see who's liking it,
sure,
who's watching it. It's just, it's not good for my brain. And I've just, I think my OCD got so bad that I'm just like, well, try to. I'm not, the only way that I was like, okay, we need to fucking do something about it because it's getting to the point where it's kind of unmanageable. And I did notice that every time I was on, I would get off of social media, I would feel anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to put two and two together. Again, I didn't start Instagram yesterday, but I'm like, well, when do you feel good? Like, let's try to notate that. Like, when do you feel good? It's like, okay, after I've accomplished something. Oh, well, what is accomplishing something? Okay, well, after the gym, a hard workout. I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yes. Or
you do something hard and you go, fuck, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so good. I'm so proud of myself. I'm killing it. You know, I feel good some days after Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I'm always happy that I went, of course, but sometimes it takes a toll on your ego.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel good after I educate myself and I learn something new. That's
absolutely
why I absolutely loathe reality TV because I get enough reality TV on Instagram.
Yeah, I hate reality TV except for there's one program I like.
Guys, he likes Tampa Bay's. Now, to be honest with you, maybe I watched 5 minutes and it's a little bit alluring because you're like, hey, I've been there.
That's the only reason why I watch it. That's literally the only reason why I watch it.
And I think my tongue started to fall out of my mouth and I'm just like, oh shit, it's happening. Nope, yeah. Turn it off. I don't even want to see it. Get away from me. It's about lesbians in Tampa. I'm sure most of you like it. But I decided to put myself in rehab. And I go, what would it look like if I never went on Instagram again? And I'm like, oh, I can't do that. I'll miss everybody's life. Will I? Or will I just invest more in my own mm-hmm. and the people around me that actually fucking matter? And maybe I'll be happier because I won't be constantly inundated with how much better, allegedly, everybody else is doing but me. I'm thinking about, wow, they have this and, you know, they have this perfect relationship, even though I know they don't, but it kind of looks that way.
Sure.
But they have this perfectly curated life, a lot of people, and that's what they're putting out on social media. And I know this, but that doesn't stop me from going, fuck, that is cool.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, yeah, maybe they're not having the best time in the Cayman Islands, but they're still there.
Right.
They're still in the Cayman Islands. How did they afford that? They don't do anything.
And it looks like they're having a good time, whether they are or not. Who knows?
Right. But it's like, okay, yeah, maybe they're not having, they don't have a perfect relationship, but they're still in Mykonos. Mm-hmm. And the weather's awesome. It's hard to, I don't know, filter the weather in the background.
Right.
It's hard to be, you know, upset and frowning when you're on a catamaran, you
true.
Know? So I'm like, well, that's such a cool life. And you go, nope, stop right there. So I'm just taking myself off and I'll check in a week and say, do I feel better? If I feel better, which I'm pretty sure I am going to feel better, that I will just continue to do that.
Now, when did you first start?
I believe it was Wednesday afternoon. So it's not even been long at all.
Okay.
But I already feel like a little bit proud of myself where I'm like, okay, I was spending, let's say 2 hours a day collectively
mm-hmm.
on Instagram, not in one go, but throughout yeah. the day, maybe an hour and a half. I already feel like, okay, I'm doing something kind of hard because I am still like picking up the phone to look at it. There's no notifications. There's no nothing. So it's just a lot of this is the time and the date, but I already feel better. And like less, like I can breathe a little bit easier. So I'm like, okay, let's just keep doing this. See where we go.
Mm-hmm.
You just feel a lot of FOMO at first because you're like, well, these are where my people are. This is where I'm getting all my social whatever. And now it's not there. I told my close friends, hey, I'm not on Instagram. So if you message me, I'm not being a dick. But everybody else, you know, for those listening, I'm not gonna get your shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. You'll have to call in and talk to me there or something. But I don't know. So if anybody else is feeling kind of anxious lately, maybe you want to try doing the same thing. And I'm not trying to, you know, this isn't like I'm a vegan. I'm trying to get everybody else to be vegan like me or intermittent fast or anything like that.
CrossFit.
But CrossFit's the fucking worst. But I just feel like it was something I wanted to share. And if you're feeling anxious, maybe give it a try. You know, we're constantly, not Bubba Army, but a lot of people try to do all these health kicks and,
yeah,
you know, run a lot or something, or go on a diet or do Lent or something, and they got to fucking share it with everybody. Ask yourself why the fuck you even have that urge to begin with. Why do I have this urge to share every moment of my life? Now you're like, Anna, you're a fucking idiot. You're on the radio and that's all you do. Yeah, exactly. So I'm done. Quota, I'm done. I've given you enough. You just fucking, you can find it elsewhere, okay? I'm giving you enough of me on the show. I don't need to show you any more of the ins and outs of my life. And why do I feel the need to post? Is it because it's a habit? Is it because I'm trying to flex and show you how cool I am? Am I trying to posture? Am I trying to make you envious of my life? Yes, to all of the above. Yes, I'm trying
to
do that.
That's why I do it.
Yeah, of course that's why we do it. Look at the cool thing I'm doing. I'm not going to live in the moment. I'm just going to live for other people's moments. It's like, what the fuck am I doing? I don't want to live like this. And it's weird because you talk to people and they go, oh, so nice. I went on vacation. I went off the grid. And I feel like so refreshed. Then as soon as you get back home, you go back on the grid. Now, I know some of that is unavoidable because of work.
Yeah.
But I would say most of it is unavoidable. It's because you're like, well, I'm already on my phone. Might as well check all 7 of my accounts on TikTok and Snapchat and Tumblr and Facebook and
Pinterest
and MySpace and all the and Twitch and Snatch and whatever, Discord, mm-hmm. all these things.
The Snatch app is my favorite.
Yes, on the Snatch app. So I don't know. I feel like I don't know why I feel the need to share and I feel like I'm dealing with the Sackler family. It's worse. I would say Instagram is worse than OxyContin. Yes, I'm making that claim. Fuck you. Fuck you, Facebook Metaverse.
We're
I'm glad
on
you
Facebook
lost all
right now. Calm your horses.
Let's take a phone call. Hi, who's this?
Hey, it's Trickney.
Hi, Trickney. What's up? Sorry, I put you on hold for a while. I was talking about myself.
That's okay. I've been listening. I just wanted to touch on what you were saying about how, like, when you're having a good day, it's like, wait, this doesn't feel right. Like, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. And that's something that I've been working on for years because, like, you know, again, when you're having, like, one of those really good days, you're like, wait a second. Something's not right here. This is mm-hmm. not what I'm used to.
Right.
And, but something I've been really into lately is just cognitive thinking and learning more about that and how changing your thinking can change your life.
Give me an example of cognitive thinking.
I've had the same therapist for like 20 years.
Oh,
and
good.
So it took me about like, 15 for my brain to start to like soak the information in that he was trying to explain to me that, you know, our thoughts, you know, have an impact on our behavior.
Absolutely.
And, you know, changing. And for me, my big thing has been changing your thinking can change your life. And that's in a good way or a bad way.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just kind of got on a tangent. So
no,
sorry, but
no.
I hear what you're saying 1,000%. It's when you're always like waiting for that other shoe to drop and it doesn't. And you're like, and that's just not a good way to live. You know?
And I was just getting
exhausting.
I was getting sick of myself for talking about all the negative things about social media, but not doing anything. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I keep talking about how bad it is, yet I'm one of their biggest consumers. What the fuck? So it was time to start, you know, walking the walk and talking the talk. So I'm like, all right, I'm done for a week. I'm just saying a week now because I don't like, you know, I want to be able to succeed. Yeah, I don't want to be like, I'm going to run a marathon every day. It's like, clearly I'm not. So let's start small because that's what one of my gurus, Jordan Peterson, talks about. Keep the bar low so you can step right over it and then you keep another bar low and then another bar low. And then before you know it, you've climbed a mountain, but, you know, just one step at a time.
It's just a bunch of fucking cliches, which I have tried to avoid for so long. And mm-hmm. I'm like, no, like, everything about life is a cliche.
Yeah.
One day at a time. If it's meant to be, it'll be.
Yeah, you post about it on Instagram.
I know. Oh, thank you for watching. What?
Of course I do.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, it's just life.
Yeah, it is life. Ashley, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ashley.
No problem.
Truly, thank you.
Bye, guys.
All right, bye.
Have a good one. But yeah, that's what's going on with me and what I'm trying to do. And just trying to not be a fucking hypocrite because we know mm-hmm. how I feel about those people.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't even mind liars and cheaters. I welcome them.
You always have said that.
Yes. I understand that that's kind of how you got to win in some realms in politics or in you know, life, corporate life, whatever, just social life. I get that you got to lie and that you got to cheat, and I'm okay with that. But I don't like hypocrites, and I was one. I was just talking about how bad it was, but I was engaging. And I guess I've told myself, well, I have to be on Instagram. And then it's like, and then I start to push back. Why do you have for work? But you can still do it on your work account and not have a personal account. But how will I grow my media? You're already on the radio. It's fine. Just do it through Bubba Army. But I need to know what's going on with the person that's trying to sell me Snuggies and Crocs. Actually, you don't. And then when you start to kind of have these conversations Crocs. In your head, she hawks a lot of stuff. Crocs is one of them. But when you start to kind of have these conversations in your head and you get to the bottom of why you have these beliefs, you realize that it's they're based on nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to the conclusion, I'm like, okay, let's live a life of more solitude, of more me. Not that I'm trying to be a narcissist. And by me, I mean my life and my orbit and the people that are, and my intimate community of people. You know, I don't need to be broadcasting to people who fucking I never talk to anyways, people from high school and college that they've never asked me in 15 years how mm-hmm. I'm doing, and I've never asked them how they're doing. But we kind of keep track on each other's life. What do we, why? Goodbye, see you later. Mm-hmm. You had no value, I had no value to you, or maybe I do because you think I'm cool. But nevertheless, it needs to be done. It needs to be over. So, I don't know if that helped anybody or if that was just a bunch of rambling. It could be maybe both. But if you're feeling fucking anxious all the time and you feel the need to post everything, maybe the problem is you, and maybe you should make some fucking moves, is what I would say. You want change in your life? You're doing the same thing over and over. What's the fucking trite thing they say? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of true. So anyways, with that, I'll bid you adieu. Blitz, thank you for letting me ramble for an hour, 2 hours, a couple hours. Appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Have a great weekend. We will see you on the other side. Good day.
I said bye.
Oh, sorry. You want to say bye again?
Bye.
Bye.